trifecta. Minus two. I'm calling it the fecta. You just hit yourself in the head with the mic.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. That's
it's a good Monday.
Hold on. I got two important announcements for people. First, a reminder that at North Middle School in Portage tonight, the drill commenced at 3:30 and goes till 10 p.m., but I know our minds are on the crisis in Washington and mass killings. This drill was planned for some time, but you will see around that school large numbers of police cars, ambulances, fire trucks, and other emergency personnel. It is only a drill. Nothing took place at North Middle School in Portage. The drill goes from 3:30 until 10 tonight.
Wow.
So don't panic when you see all of that. One more update, and this is one you'll find interesting, Dr. Sports. The Washington Nationals have postponed tonight's game against Atlanta following the shootings in the adjacent Navy Yard. The game has been rescheduled for tomorrow as a doubleheader, where it'll be, I think we used to call those a twilight doubleheader.
Or day-night. I don't think I've ever heard of twilight, but that may be before my time.
Really?
The term.
That's another age joke, isn't it?
Slipped one in there.
Yeah.
I just did that.
You do that frequently.
Yeah. Well, you're an easy target.
And the spokesman for the Washington Nationals said, our thoughts and prayers are with our friends at the Navy Yard and those impacted by today's incident. And as a result, tonight's game is postponed until tomorrow.
And just to clarify something, I find that more necessary than interesting. Of course, this is a necessary move for the Nationals to have to postpone this
yes.
game, given the events that have happened today, is absolutely necessary.
And their proximity to
yes.
the site of the
yep.
crime and the fact that there is still one suspect at large.
Yeah.
Perhaps still on that base, on that facility, but they don't know where that person is.
So 100% necessary, because you don't want to put a group of people in one solitary confined space.
How many people does that stadium?
Oh,
30,000.
Yeah, probably around there.
I
don't have my seat counter out for National
yeah,
Stadium, but it's average probably 30,000 or more.
Okay.
So.
And that shares the same subway stop with
yep.
the Navy Yard.
Yes, it does.
And common sense would suggest, nope, not tonight. We're not going to have thousands of people coming off the subway into a potentially dangerous situation.
You know, there are many times where sports plays kind of the relief
for yeah.
tragedies such as this, and certainly when that game is played, and well, the games now with the doubleheader,
yeah.
That's going to become when they deem that area safe enough for that to happen. It is going to play that role, but for now, sports needs to take a back seat to some major
yeah.
events that have happened,
yeah.
and this is one of those times.
There are things that are more important than sports. And
you heard it here, and I will admit that myself. But
an attack killing 12 people in a naval yard adjacent to the ballpark is...
Time for baseball to step aside, of course, for just logical reasons, but
yep.
also moral and...
Yeah.
And all those other things, but
just being sensitive.
Sensitive, yep. And
yep.
so when it's ready to be played, I know that the teams will be ready to go and ready to provide that type of relief that's going to be needed in the coming weeks.
How did the Tigers do over the weekend?
Well, they got a series win over the Royals, two games out of three. That's
okay.
what that means.
Okay.
And yesterday, Alex Avila playing the hero. For Detroit, and they're going to move on tonight to open a series tonight at home with the Seattle Mariners.
And when You told me last week about the magic 11.
Yes.
That number changes now as we get closer to the end of the season.
Yes, and
what's the magic number now?
I knew you were going to stump me. I don't know.
I'm
because
stumping
I
you?
Yes, because I have
you
not
gave
had
me the algorithm to calculate this.
Because I haven't had a chance to look at it before. You're like, just come in. Just come in. I'm not looking at the magic number formula right now.
You don't know how much I'm enjoying stumping Dr. Sport.
You love it. You love it.
Especially since you taught me the calculation. Oh, I love this.
When I said series win, that's the important thing that it matters to me. And we've got a caller. Maybe they're going to give us the magic number or just call me a complete idiot, which is, you know,
no,
one or both is fine.
No, we're not going to call you an idiot, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to enjoy.
I have thick skin, so it's okay.
What did the caller say, Michael?
The magic number is 9.
I was going to say if they.
Thank you, sir.
If I had to guess, because before the series opened, it was 11.
Uh-huh.
And then the weekend happened. They won 2 out of 3. So thank you to that caller. Makes sense that the magic number is now 9.
Yeah. This is an impromptu thing. I had a number of issues going at the top of the hour.
That's
and
okay.
As I ran by your office, I just said, come in.
Come on in.
And so you didn't have time to prepare. So I won't call you an idiot or disparage your character.
Did the caller say that I was an idiot? Okay. No, that's okay.
And so, but it doesn't mean I didn't enjoy it.
I know. You love it. You love stumping me.
I almost want to go out and have a cigarette now.
Oh, boy. You can join Jim Leland out in the back with his Marlboro whirls. If I can talk.
I don't smoke.
I know. We know that.
We have some tickets to give away.
Yes, yes. Talked a little bit about some serious news as far as baseball goes for today, but some happy news. There was a drawing that was done at a credit union, I think, last week, Kellogg Community Federal Credit Union last week. A lot of people entered to win a pair of tickets to the September 22nd game against the Chicago White Sox, and the winner we drew is Nadine Billen out of Climax. And so congratulations to her and a friend going to see the Detroit Tigers play on September 22nd against the Chicago White Sox.
And by then, they could be closing in on the magic number.
The magic number could be, well, now it's in the single digits. It could be, within 5, maybe even looking at clinching that weekend. So we'll see.
And in my mind, I see playing Chicago as sort of a rivalry.
It is. It always is, just in general, being in the division.
Yeah.
But as of late, and especially this year, the White Sox have pounded the Detroit Tigers. We've gotten some wins against the White Sox, but they have not come easy. And so that's going to be, albeit the end of the regular season, but also just a crucial series in general. And then the fact that compounded that it's against the White Sox kind of adds a little bit of drama to it. So
cool.
That'll be a good one to look forward to. And congratulations to Nadine and her friend.
Nadine.
Yes, Nadine.
Congratulations. That should be a darn good game.
I wish she could take me, but she doesn't really know me. So that's okay.
Yeah.
I'll find another way maybe to sneak
in. If
she
knew you, she'd want to take you care of.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, to know you is to love you.
Oh, thank you.
590 WKZO time is 4:16. On the trifecta at 590 WKZO. Trifecta's a little short-handed today. I'm it. Sorry, folks. But let's talk a little about infrastructure. I know it's so sexy. Everybody gets excited when you bring up the word infrastructure. Oh, by the way, this portion of the trifecta brought to you by Comerica Bank, focused on business for nearly 150 years. Visit comerica.com/business. And the AP, Associated Press, did an analysis of 607,380 bridges in its most recent federal national bridge inventory. It showed that 65,000 of them are classed as structurally deficient and 20,808 as fracture critical. Of those, 7,795 were both structurally deficient and fracture critical, a combination of red flags that indicates the bridge being in significant disrepair and potentially at risk of collapse. The number of bridges nationwide that are both structurally deficient and fracture critical has actually remained fairly consistent for a number of years. These things fluctuate because we are, as we who live on the west side of Kalamazoo know, are slowly taking care of some of our deficient bridges. The overpass of M43 or West Main Street over US 131 being rebuilt as we speak. Many of the bridges most at risk were built back in the 50s, 60s, and early 70s when the interstate system was being built. They've now exceeded their design life. Matter of fact, the bridge on West Main has exceeded its design life, but the major rehabilitation it's getting will give it another 20 years of life. They've exceeded their life expectancy and yet are still carrying traffic. Now, what this is leading to, new Treasury Department figures confirm that the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, projected in the spring a budget deficit for 2013 will be dramatically lower than it was in the previous 4 years. The government recorded a $148 billion deficit in August, a 22.5% decrease over the same month a year ago, and is on track for a total of $642 billion annual deficit when the fiscal year ends September 30th, coming up here in just a couple of weeks. Does this finally, sequestration in place and all, give us the ability to take care of our infrastructure? This was one of the things I wanted to talk to Representative Upton about. Can we now afford to begin to replace our out-of-date infrastructure? And one of the things that bothers me is not taking care of our infrastructure doesn't save us any money. It artificially makes the deficit look smaller in a particular year than it is, because the bridges at some point will fall down if we don't fix them. And if we don't fix them now, we're going to have to fix them later. And so putting off maintaining the infrastructure, our sewage systems, our water systems, our roads, isn't saving us any money, because we're going to have to do that at some point. And as the deficit is dropping now, falling to its lowest level since 2008, is it time to move on from being really focused on the deficit and to begin to take care of the needs the country has. Billions of dollars in unnecessary repairs for automobiles and trucks, increasing chances, and we've already seen some, the bridge collapse in Seattle, the one in Minneapolis, and as time goes on, there'll be more and more of them if we don't deal with the backlog in taking care of our country's infrastructure. We're worried about giving young people a huge amount of deficit that they're going to have to be responsible for in future years. And yet we're not concerned with leaving them an infrastructure that they're going to have to replace. And the fact that doesn't show as a part of a deficit on the books at this point in time doesn't mean it's not out there hanging like the sword of whose sword was that hanging over the head of future generations. Maybe now that the deficit is shrinking, we need to do something about that. Tis the trifecta with Roger. Denny Cooley out ill today, and we were really a dynamic duo in the first place. I don't know that you call just me alone a trifecta. This portion of the show, though, brought to you by Lake Michigan Credit Union, the best place for your money. Learn more at lmcu.org. And a reminder, all the emergency equipment that you may see around North Middle School in Portage is a drill. I know the problem in Washington has us all a little nervous, and seeing a school surrounded by police cars and ambulances and fire trucks and other emergency personnel might be alarming. Not so. It is a drill. Nothing exciting is going on there. Well, it is exciting that there's a drill taking place, but there is no crisis. Joining us now is local Tea Partyist, Chris. And Chris, I'm going to go out on a limb, and you think the deficit is the most important thing in the world?
No, I don't.
Wow!
There you go. When you assume, you do what?
Assume. I've talked to you many times, and you're surprising me. Share the reason for your call.
Well, I just think that a couple of things. First of all, you know, we already spent $1 trillion for those shovel-ready jobs at the beginning of the administration. So I'm just wondering what's going on with that.
Well, we drive on it every day as we go down I-94, where it's been
improved. $1 trillion every 4 years? What's that? How is that our infrastructure budget now?
Well, you tell me, how much money should we spend when we have thousands of bridges? Well, let's back up. One of the points I'm trying to make here is conservatives don't seem to understand that conservatives don't seem to understand that deferring maintenance on the country's infrastructure is not saving any money. It's postponing the inevitable.
Sure.
And we hear the rhetoric of we can't leave our children with this mountain of debt. Well, we can't leave them with a country that is literally crumbling around them either.
Because you made all these points earlier, and that's why I called up, was to answer them. So I understand your position that, you know, it's deficit one way or deficit the other. Either if we spend it now, it's deficit. If we spend it later, it's deficit.
It's going to have to be spent.
We owe the money one way or another, and that is true. That's an economic fact.
Okay.
But what you ignore is that we should, the purpose of government is to provide the opportunity for us to increase our economy. And right now they're squandering our economy, and we continue to spend more money than we have.
Countries, how can we remain economically viable if we have a third world infrastructure? Why are multinational corporations? Chris, don't interrupt. How are multinational corporations going to be lured to do business in the United States when our highways are crumbling? It damages their vehicles that they've got on the roads and increases their cost of doing business. How do we compete with countries that are maintaining their infrastructure, Chris?
All right, you know, let me answer now. How do emerging economies do it? They do it by spending money as efficiently as possible, and only take out of what the economy what is necessary for the infrastructure that they're trying to develop. Because in the end, developing economies are developing economies. They need to earn more money so that they earn more money. Infrastructure. We are a developing economy, are we not?
Chris, no. We are a developed nation. We are. I'm assuming that you see us still on a level plane with Japan and the European countries. About 2%.
No, it's about 1.5.
Well, that's about 2%, Chris.
Okay. I call that 1%, but you call it 2%. So I'll call it 1.5. What our normal growth rate should be about 6 to 7%, 8% on the high end, probably, you know, 4% on the low end.
Well, it's because of the sequestration, Chris. I have to pat you down because you won't listen.
So the government has to do with the
sequestration and the laying off of public employees and increasing unemployment. That's why the economy is not doing better.
That accounts for about 1.5% of our nation's growth.
Our nation's growth if we weren't doing the senseless cutting that the sequestration does. Is that what you're saying? We could double our economic growth, Chris. We could double our economic growth if we would end the sequester. Is that what you're telling me?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that if we take a dollar out of the economy for the government to spend it, it's a dollar that's not being spent in the private economy, that's not coming to me and me spending money on whether it's a new car or a new TV or improvement on my house. It is less efficient for the government to spend that money. So
Chris,
the 1.5%
let's go back to what
growth that we have.
Let's go back to what we were talking about. How can the United States compete in the world economy and allow our infrastructure to continue to deteriorate? Other countries that we compete with are not. We're 15th in internet access. You look through any of the measures, and the United States is sinking like a rock into third world status.
We lead in children dying. You can't have infrastructure improvement if you don't have economic growth. That's a law. You cannot spend.
So you're saying so the Tea Partyist view of this is it's hopeless. Because,
no, I say fix the economy. Stop meddling. Stop. The government needs to stop meddling in the economy. Let the economy pick up some steam, and then you can get your taxes to spend money on infrastructure.
Okay.
That's the way it works.
Thanks for your perspective, Chris. Thanks for calling in. 590 WKZO time is 450. And we'll be back right after this break. If you're heading north on US 131, you might want to get off at D Avenue because there is an accident that's beginning to back traffic up just south of M89 on US 131. So northbound 131, if you want to avoid the schmazel, get off at D Avenue and find your way around that traffic accident. We'll learn more at the top of the hour, but the Washington Post at 4:33 raised the dead count in Washington, D.C. to 13 and multiple others wounded. But the death toll from the shootings at the Naval Yard continued to climb. It's now at 13. And to show you what's going on in Washington, the Washington Nationals baseball game has been canceled. One more reminder, if you see large numbers of police, fire, ambulances, all sorts of equipment at North Middle School in Portage this evening. There is no crisis. It is a drill. This was scheduled before the catastrophe in Washington. So when you see it, don't panic. It is a drill.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.